one, the walk of faith, it's time to grow up. Because we got, y'all like that. I'm going to come up with more names like that for y'all. This is the problem. We have too many Christians that want to be hauled around all their life. They want Jesus to scoop them up. They want Jesus to carry them around. And they're like, Jesus, turn the light on my arms. I have to move my arms, Jesus. And they want Jesus to say, it's okay, let me get that light for you. You stay down and watch your soaps. Be like, you keep eating your Cheetos. I'll take care of it for you. Yeah, and I'll clean up after you. But there is a time that, could you imagine your child? How many parents do we have? How many of you have kids? The parents have kids. How many of you kids have parents? That should be everybody's parents. Okay. So at one time, somebody had to take care of you. Or you had to take care of someone. It's somewhere in that life. And you had to clean up. And you know everything about diapers and that whole deal. When those diapers say 10 to 12 or 10 to 15 pounds, they mean it. Once you put 10 to 15 pounds of stuff in there, you better change them. Because it will start coming out the side. So, you know, it's nasty, it's dirty, but it is a part of life. And even in your Christian life, there might have been times that you've carried stuff around that was not pleasant for you. But we should not be there 15 years later. We still, 15 years later, should not be expecting our diapers to be changed. Can you imagine a 30-year-old man walking around perfectly functioning but wearing a diaper? And I'm not talking about a medical disability. I'm talking about just, I don't want to grow up. That, something's wrong with that. And so we as Christians need to get out of the diaper wearing stage of our life. We need to get out of sucking our thumb. We need to get out of just living life and blaming everybody else. You might have had a lot of stuff happen to you. And you might be able to point fingers at a lot of people and say, I've been done wrong. And this wasn't right. And this person did that. And my life is hell because of my parents and the way I was raised and everything else. Well, let me tell you something. That may be true. You may have had a hellacious life, but get over it. We all have a reason to be horrible people. I do not want to diminish the pain that was in your life. I recognize the pain, but I've had pain in my life. You've had pain in yours, and yours may have been brutal. The people who were supposed to protect you may have hurt you. That may, and I don't want to make light of that, but we can't live where we don't move forward in our life. You can't live it. And maybe you're at a place right now where you're like, my life is hurting and I don't know how to get over it. Let me tell you something. Give it to Jesus. Even tell him. Be truthful with the Lord. I don't know how to get over this. It's been a part of my life too long. I've been hurt and I don't know how to let it go. Be truthful with the Lord and say, God, I don't know how, but I do it in faith. I do it right now. Help me let it go.
Amen.
And God will be there every step of the way. God will be there every step of the way. What if I mess up, Pastor? What if I go back? What if I do things again as a child that I've done? And, you know, it's immature. I know it is. I didn't even like doing it when I did it. I didn't want to do it, but a part of me did. And I did it anyway. And I don't know how to get rid of it. If you made a mistake, we go back to 1 John 1:9. We ask for forgiveness. And God is faithful to forgive us. But don't make excuses while you're there. Recognize that there are things we just got to grow up. Are you perfect as far as what humans consider perfection? No. If perfect means without flaw, there ain't no one without flaw. There ain't no one without flaw. But God calls you perfect. His definition of perfect is maturity. To be mature, to grow up, to be made to perfection. All right, let's read. Let's go back to the scripture we've been using, Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, we have looked at this before. It almost sounds like Paul's being cute, right? It looks that way. But last week, I pointed out, I looked up the word foolish here and looked up the thesaurus to it as well. And it said, nimwit, stupid, idiot. Paul was not being cute. Paul was actually being in their face. Paul said, oh, stupid Galatians, idiotic Galatians, you bird brain nitwit. How many of you would take that? How many of you would take that from a preacher? Raise your hands. I want to see who I can talk to like that. I'm joking. I'm not going to. That's terrible. So in all of this, Paul here is being in their face. Who has bewitched you? Who has hypnotized you? And so the subject of the matter here is he's saying, in the beginning, you saw clearly. In the beginning, your faith was clear. But all of a sudden, you've act and live like you're in a fog. Oh, there's so many gray matters in the body of Christ. I don't know. No. There's right and there's wrong. But I don't know. Maybe your faith seems like it's been foggy due to things in your life that have happened. Maybe it's just all of a sudden unclear. Can I tell you something? Faith is simple. Now, why does it seem like it's not simple sometimes? Because you got family. You have churches that are going to help you muddy it up. You're going to have theologians that are going to help you try to get it all confusing. It takes, you know, a Bible degree from a local university to get the Word of God confused. To get faith to where it's hard to understand is getting faith out of its context. The Bible stated to us, let's go back to the beginning to when we first activated faith. The first time we activated faith is when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The same way that faith activated there is the same way faith is activated all through your life. Believing and speaking. That's how you got saved. You believed the word. You believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and you spoke it with your mouth. Amen. I would just like to point this out. Are you ready for this? You spoke something that at that very moment was not true. The moment you decided to speak it, once you relayed that, your brain relayed that to your mouth, when your brain said, I believe this, now I'm going to speak it. Till you spoke it, it was not true. I'm going to moonwalk right out of this place. Until you spoke it, it was not true. I've had Christians tell me, I don't like to say what the God says about me because I don't feel it's true. I feel like I'm lying. Didn't stop you when you confessed him as your Savior. Let me ask this question. How many of you were all holy right before you confessed Jesus as your Savior? How many of you still had sin in your life when you confessed Jesus as your Savior? You wasn't perfect. Did it stop you from confessing? I don't feel holy, Pastor. I can't confess Jesus as my Savior this week because you don't know what I did Saturday. One, I don't want to know what you did Saturday. And two, it didn't stop you from confessing Jesus as your Lord. At the very moment you confessed, it wasn't activated in your life. But, you know, that's still how faith works. What God calls me blessed. I don't feel blessed. If I say that I am blessed, it makes me feel like I'm lying. Aren't I lying, Pastor? Should I not lie? It's not lying. It's confessing the word. And we believe the word over natural circumstances. I believe the word of God over everything everybody's ever called me. People may have put you down all your life, told you how stupid you were, how not important you were, how worthless you were, and everybody else was better, and you would never reach that level. And that might have been something that operated in your life, and you felt that that was true. Well, God says that that is not true, and that he has a destiny on your life and something for you to accomplish in your life. But if I confess that, I just don't feel it's true. Well, God's word is true, and what everybody else said is a lie. Oh, that's good preaching. All right, so in the verses 1 and then verses 11, Paul is saying that people here that accepted Jesus as their Savior, they got sidetracked. Now, we're going to focus on verse 3 this morning. Are you ready? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that ye have now been made perfect by the flesh? So this has been begun in the Spirit and made perfect, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Okay? Did you get that? I'm going to make it more plain. Let's turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 and 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know what verse 6 is saying? You've received Jesus as your Savior. How many of you? Let me ask that question first. How many of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior? I would say that's the majority of you right there. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So this scripture is talking to you. In the last part of verse 6 here, comma, after Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know what that's saying? You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now act like it. Walk in it. Act like it. Oh, that's good. God is speaking to us and says, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now act like it. I can't. It's so hard. I have so many habits. Well, you know what? God wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. If God says you can act like it, you can act like it. If God says you can walk in it, you can walk in it. If you feel like you can't and God says you can, who's wrong?
You are.
You are. Not the Lord. The Lord is never wrong.
That's right.
So if you feel like you can't, but I have medical problems. I have a diagnosis from a doctor. Well, join the club. I love that. There's an actor on TV. He plays a character that says, I'm not crazy. My mom had me tested. Like, you're crazy. No, I'm not. My mom had me tested. So even if your mom had you tested and it turned it out to be true, the word of God is more powerful than your diagnosis. The word of God is more powerful than imbalance. The word of God is more powerful. God can cause that is imbalanced to become balanced. God can cause that diagnosis to change. He has the power. Thank you, the two in the back. I appreciate that. Now, verse 1 in Galatians 3, verse 1 says that we got sidetracked as believers. Verse 2 said we were saved by faith. Verse 3 says grow up in your faith. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Verse 5 says you have victory. Verse 4 says you have victory in tribulations by faith. Verse 5 says miracles because of faith. 6 through 9 says Abraham is our father by faith. 10 and 11 says that once we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christians try so hard to impress God by their works, not understanding that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God didn't say without works, it's impossible to please God. Let me say this. When you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that very moment, you've done nothing for the kingdom. You've done nothing for the... You haven't got anyone saved. You haven't given any money to the church. You haven't prayed. You haven't fasted. You've done nothing to bless the kingdom. And God says, at that very moment, I am well pleased. Not because you gave a lot of money. Not because you blessed people. Not because you've preached on the highways and the byways. Because you activated your faith.
Amen.
Not works. He said, at that very moment, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the moment you gave your life to Jesus, God said, all of a sudden, I became very pleased with you. So many people believe God's not pleased with them. And if you get in the Word, you understand God is pleased with you. Pastor, I've told that to people, and people, Pastor, God's not pleased with me. God's not pleased with me. Are you calling God a liar? Well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what has happened. You don't know. You don't know. You're right. I don't know everything. I don't know everything you do. But I do know that the Bible is always true. I do know that you need to get rid of that self-image that you have,
yes.
That problem that you have on the inside of you,
yes.
that issue, the way you see yourself. See, you're seeing yourself through your own glasses. Can I borrow your glasses?
Oh, sure.
They work well for you, but they do not work well for me. Now, these glasses, you see yourself through these glasses. And me seeing you, you look pretty weird right now. I'm sure I don't look so great either with these things that don't even fit my head. So in all of this, I'm seeing you and you a bunch of weird people. You don't look right. You look out of focus. You look tinier. Some of your heads are tiny. Some of your bodies are too big with this. Mom, we got to talk about your prescription afterwards. And so, and you're looking at me and it doesn't make sense. Oh, and you got, is this like at the end? Is this like a bifocal deal? Oh, I see that. Progressive, not bifocal. Progressive. And so you are progressively getting more weird. And so this, you're seeing yourself with a progression of your works. And you're not happy and you feel you haven't done enough to outweigh the bad that you have had in your life. You feel like I feel like I'm about to fall over. You feel like you haven't done enough to outweigh the sin in your life. When God says the moment you've come into the kingdom, the moment you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the old man is dead. Every sin, every wrongdoing, everything that was done to you, everything you did to another person, everything you did wrong to yourself, all of a sudden is dead. And God says, take off the glasses. Take off the filter that you see yourself in. Take off the filter that your teacher, your mother, your brother, your sisters called you. Take off the filter of this world and put on my glasses, which shows you perfect, which shows you covered by the blood of Jesus. At that very moment you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, God says, I am well pleased with you. That very moment, well, I haven't lived like I've been following the Lord. God is still pleased with you. Once God is pleased with you, it is impossible for him to be unpleased with you. As long as you know Jesus is the Son of God, it is impossible for God to be unpleased with you by your works. It is impossible. Now, it doesn't say that God's happy with everything we've done, but God is not going to discount us. God is not going to get rid of us. God is not going to discard us. Whew, it's going to take my eyes a little while to adjust back now. And so, in faith, it's a walk. It's a progress. You'll be better next week. It's just like working out. And most of you can probably tell right now, I don't do a whole lot of that. But if it's working out, when you're working out, you can see a change. And you know, it's always funny. Men and women are different when it comes to working out. Have you noticed that? Women will work out and they'll hide every mirror in the house. Men will work out for like 5 minutes the first time and flex in and be like, bam, bam. Man, this is looking good. Hold it out proud. I think it went down a little bit. And so sometimes the result you're looking for doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't change the fact that you are in a process. And don't get upset at the process and sit down. That's what happens when people work out. They work out for a week and they haven't noticed anything. I might as well just sit down and eat this whole pecan pie. I need some ice cream a la mode on this thing. I'm so upset. I haven't dropped a pound in a week. Well, get over it. It didn't take you a week to get that pound either. It took you some while to put that on. It's going to take you some while to get that off. So don't get upset at your walk of faith. I'm not seeing the results I want. Well, you didn't get there overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight. The point of faith is it is a walk.
Yes.
It is a process.
Yes.
When Jesus was talking to the disciples, give me faith. He said, if you would have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed in Jerusalem is this tree, right? It's not a plant, it's a tree.
It becomes a tree.
And they have a pod, right? These trees have these pods. These pods break open, and the seeds that fall out are the size of pepper flakes. Pepper flakes that you put on your food. That's the size of the seed. And the wind blows it away during the dry season, falls into the cracks in the desert. And then the rain season comes and it covers over the seed. And the seed grows up and it becomes one of the largest trees in all of Jerusalem, all of Israel. And then the Bible says, and then it gives shade to the animals and to the birds. It gives shade, it gives food, it gives the ability to escape the persecution. And so what it is God is saying, your faith grows. It starts off as a mustard seed. You can't see how much it's doing for you, but don't discount the mustard seed.
Amen.
Don't discount it because it's small. Because you got to see the end result. You got to know where it's going. The end result is your faith is going to grow so big that others will be where you were at one time. And you'll be able to say to them, hey, I was right there.
That's
I
right.
know what it feels like. I know. I
That's
understand.
Right.
Come here. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you how I got over it. Let me tell you how I applied the word. And as you begin to lift them up, they can rest in your faith. You'll be able to give. There'll be persecution in their life. And when they come to you, all of a sudden they know everything's going to be okay. Because you give others breaks and their persecution in everyday life. And that our faith is a process. Look at your neighbor and say, it is a process. Now, Hebrews 1:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so a lot of people have a problem because we've operated in the kingdom of things that are seen too long. And we feel like if we say something that we cannot see, that we're lying. That we're not telling the truth. And the God says, God spoke the world into existence. I've had someone ask me, you know, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? I said, you know, honestly, I don't know how God did it. If he played marbles, he spoke it into existence. I have no idea. If two rocks hit together, that's what happened. I have no idea. God is bigger than me. I don't understand everything he does. I don't understand everything that he has done in the past. I wasn't there. And so when he created the world, he created it. One thing I do know is he spoke and bang, it happened. Whether that was a long process of things spinning or just out of the vapors, I have no earthly idea. I don't really care either. Let those people who want to try to figure that out, figure that out. It doesn't bother me anyway. You know, I don't care how a Cadillac is made. I just enjoy riding in them. All right. I don't even care how my car was made. And you don't even need to know everything about your car to know how to get in and use it. All right. That's just for somebody. So anyway, in all of this, any other way we try to come to God besides faith is not going to please him. Any way we try to live our life besides faith is not going to please him. So if you get in a mentality of works, I just haven't done enough. If you think your works are going to please God, you will not please God with your life. It comes with faith. Because there's a lot of stuff in your life you're going to have to get over, and it's going to take faith to get over it. People sometimes are not nice. I don't know if you've noticed that. Not everybody loves you. I don't know why. You all are a bunch of good-looking people. Amen. Who are easy to love. Amen. But some people are not going to love you. Some people in your life have not loved you that should have loved you. And it's going to take faith to get over that. I have had to let go of some stuff that I literally have had to tell God, Father, I let it go. Now help me let it go. Help me let it go. Help me not to pick it back up. Help me not to deal with it. Help me not to get angry over it. Help me not to mull it over and over. And it's fine for you to get angry. I don't want to sound like a pastor that says it ain't. I almost felt that way at some churches. Like, you can't be angry. You can be angry. You can be angry and sin not. You can be angry and throw things. Don't do it in front of the children. Don't scare them. But you can be angry at certain times. Be angry appropriately. If anger will make you act. Anger will make you do something. Now, make sure it doesn't make you go to jail. Mm-hmm. There's appropriate anger and there's appropriate action. There's inappropriate anger and inappropriate action. Just, you know, side note here. Anger that someone is misabusing someone in public, that anger about someone mistreating somebody will make you step in. I've told y'all this story before. You know, you might look at me and say, wow, pastor's real big and got it going on and real tough. You might say that. But I remember one time on State Street, I was walking down there and a guy had a girl by the throat, and he was a bodybuilder. He was a big old guy. Had a girl by the throat and holding her up against the wall, and she's crying and her makeup's all running, and everybody's just walking by and nobody's doing anything. I'm like, God Almighty, Lord, I am about to die. I am about to die here. And I remember thinking, I don't know, Lord Jesus, help me here. Help me. And the first thing that came to mind, and this was all really fast. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, at that time, concealed carry was not available in Wisconsin. So I was really nervous. So in all of this, I remember I picked up like some trash and stuff and threw it and screamed and just went nuts, just absolutely went nuts. And the guy just kind of stopped, let her go, and looked at me. And I was screaming and yelling, just absolutely going insane. The biggest insanity fit. I mean, this guy probably thought he just got out of Mendota and he needs off his meds. I don't know. And so he stopped and he looked at me and he stared. And I was watching the girl. She was running away and she got far enough away. And I looked at him and I said, oh, sorry, wrong person. And I just walked away. And he still stared at me the whole time. But she got away. And so anger will cause you to react in a manner. Anger in seeing someone misused will cause something, a compassion to rise up in you and act. So let's talk about an anger that's out of line. Are you ready? An anger that is out of line. You got cut off in traffic, so at the stoplight you get out and spit on the window of the person who cut you off. That is inappropriate anger. Misplaced. It's misplaced. You shouldn't do that, all right? Okay, so anger can be used for a godly purpose and anger can be used for an ungodly purpose. So I don't want to ever act like you can't get upset. You can get very upset. Yeah. But you need to do it in sin not, right? All right. So that was, I don't know who that's for, but y'all need to stay on track here. Now, we're going to look at growing up in maturity. And this might be a two-part message. But having begun in the spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? Question mark. God, Paul's not saying you're made perfect by the flesh. He's saying, how can you think that you were made perfect by the spirit and all of a sudden that you can do it better in the flesh? You need to rely on God. First of all, you believed in the beginning what God said about you. You believed that God said you were now a son or daughter of the Lord. You believed that by the blood of Jesus you were made righteous that can come into the kingdom of God. But now you've got smart enough by people who are teaching out of the flesh that said you got to do enough works. They're saying that you got to live a certain way. You got to cut your hair a certain way. You can't have earrings. Don't dye your hair. Don't do this mess. And all, you know, they're giving you rules and regulations that have nothing to do with the word of God. And so they're trying to tell you that you're going to be able to make it perfect. And if you do this 12-step program and buy this holy oil that came from the tree that Jesus hung on in the, you know, in Israel, they'll sell you stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
I had somebody try to sell me a piece of the cross. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good looking wood for 2,000 years old. And so they'll try to get you in all this stuff. And all of a sudden, as you start believing this, your faith becomes foggy. And you know, this Christians sometimes remind me of baby birds in a nest. Their mouth is gapped open and they're ready to swallow whatever is regurgitated and thrown up in their mouth. They'll take any doctrine and they'll run with it. Now, you might be appalled by anybody that would do that because you're a part of this church. You're mature. You're growing up. You recognize that's not no way to live. You recognize that if you hear a doctrine, you go to the Word to see if it's true. You go to the Word. If something doesn't sound right, you go to the Word to see if it's true. If it lines up with the Word of God, you say, ha, look at that, it does. Lines right up. I found a minimum of two scriptures to back it up. I found a minimum of that. If I can't find it, well, then I'll put it on the back shelf. But if I can find it, I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change my mentality. A mature Christian recognizes and relies on the Word. And I'll tell you this. I don't expect you to believe one word I say unless you can prove it by the Word. And sometimes I give you my opinion. I always try to tell you it's my opinion. I always try to point that out. This is my opinion. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, you can throw it away. You don't live by people's opinion. You live by the Word. And that is a part of growing up in the things of God. And then let me say this. Have you noticed that babies, children, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds speak differently than 21-year-olds, and 21-year-olds should speak differently, or 30-year-olds speak differently than 21-year-olds? It's growing up. It's getting older. It's acting different. And in the things of God, there is a growing up. And you shouldn't be talking like you were when you just got saved. There's a difference in maturity. There's a difference in maturity how you speak. Mm-hmm. That's good preaching. Yes, Pastor, that's good. Thank you. You blessed me, Pastor. You're welcome. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be what?
Perfect,
not without flaw, mature, grown up. That the man of God, the person of the Lord, the people of God may grow up. The word is given so that you may grow up. What is Christian maturity? It is a process of shifting from a life of being guided by the senses into a life of being guided by God's word. It's shifting out of life. And let me say this too. Don't get upset at yourself if you've accepted Jesus or you recognize that you haven't grown in the things of God. You accepted Jesus when you were a teenager and you never did anything to grow up. You're still at that same level. When you were a kid, you accepted Jesus and you just done nothing to mature. There's people who have muscles in the body and they've done nothing to improve them. They insulated them, but they have not improved them. And there are people who get saved, that they bring life on the inside of them, but they're still a baby. They may have been 30 years ago accepted Jesus as their Savior and believe Jesus is the Lord, but they're still a baby in the things of God. You have whole churches that all they do is babysit. They don't encourage people to get over things. They don't encourage people to grow up. They don't challenge people to apply the word. They don't challenge people to get over sin. They don't challenge people to get over things. They don't help them to get over things. We just want y'all to all feel good, and we'll burp you at the end. And you've come to church, and you've made Jesus happy. Yay! Here's your gold star. Church should not be here to pacify you. If you don't go to a church that says something that upsets you every once in a while, I wonder if you're going to the right place. It should challenge you. It should cause you to recognize, I can do more than what I'm doing now. All right. We're gonna stop on that one. Let's turn to 2 Peter quickly. I think I'm going to make it through today. Second Peter 1 and 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we, Peter, James, and John, that's who we are there. This was when he's referring to when Jesus was manifested on the mountain. Remember, there were some people that saw Jesus in his glory. It was Peter, James, and John. And you remember they said, hey, let's build a temple. Oh, Moses showed up too, right? And so all these people, you know, they were glorified. And they said, let's build an altar before the Lord. And so Peter here is talking. He says, you know, me, James, and John, we saw Jesus glorified. And he says, and we made known unto the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, with my own senses, with my own eyes, I saw the manifestation of the glory of God. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. And when there came such a voice from him, from the excellent of glory, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and his voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye did, or you do well that ye take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place until the day of dawn and the day star rises in your heart. Let me break this down for you. Peter is saying, I saw Jesus with my own eyes manifested. I saw the flesh of him kind of melt away and the glory shine through. I saw him manifested on the mount. Not only did I see him manifested, I heard the voice of God say, this is my son. A thunderous voice came down and said, this is my son who I am very well pleased. So Jesus had a father like I have a mama. Will kind of embarrass you sometimes talking about how good you are. I can see Jesus be like, Jesus, God, come on. I'm with the boys. Come on, stop it. No, that probably is not how it happened. But anyway, in my mind, it could have happened that way.
That's all right.
And so in all of this, Peter is saying here, I saw the Lord with my own eyes. I heard the voice of God. But he says, you have a more perfect word of prophecy. What you have is better. Because guess what? You experiences are never enough. God, experiences are never enough to hold you in the body of Christ. If you didn't have the word of God and all you did was experience the Lord, it is not enough. There, I know a man in my hometown. You know this man. He was in a wheelchair. He went to a church, went to a meeting, got healed, walked out of it. An impossibility for him. Paralyzed. God heals him. He walks out of the wheelchair. He did nothing to maintain his faith. Now he's an walking miracle, but an alcoholic and mad with the Lord. Miracles are not enough. The children of Israel teach us that. It's not enough. They went through the desert. God did miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still failed. Why? Because after a while, you begin to question, did I see it right? Did that really happen? And even if it did happen, well, I don't see him now. He brought us out of Egypt, but he brought us into the desert. I don't see how we're going to get out of the desert. We're going to starve. We don't have any water to drink. We're going to die here in the desert. Yep. Instead of remembering the things that happened, your experiences are not enough to live on. It should help you, but it's not what we live on. Peter is saying, you have a more perfect prophecy. You have a word that you can constantly look back on. You have a word that you can constantly feed yourself on. And can I tell you something? The more word and the more your spirit becomes alive, because it's your spirit man that becomes alive. And that's what we rely on. And as we more walk in the Spirit of God, we'll begin to recognize, we'll begin to train our natural eyes to see a past thing and see the prophecy. I'm going to tell you something. When I watch the news, which is very rare because I read most of my news, but when I watch it, I look at it differently than the world looks at things, because I see it through prophecy. The world sees the sky falling. I see prophecy being fulfilled.
Amen.
You should be, once you train your spirit, once your spirit man, you start working it out, you begin to see things differently. Your natural senses go beyond what you see, feel, and hear, and you start to see past the foolishness of the world. Because let me tell you something, the world changes all the time. 10 years ago, what was politically correct is not politically correct now. Our president, President Obama, stood against certain things that now he openly is for. Why? Because what is politically correct has changed. And it changes fast. What was politically correct to even say, words that were appropriate to say when my grandfather was young, is no longer appropriate to say today. The world changes all the time. This word of prophecy never, ever does. So Peter is saying, the senses, things are going to change. What you see is going to change. Everything is going to change. But if you're guided by your spirit, if you're guided by the word of God, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, that will never change. So you have something better with you than seeing Jesus Christ manifested. And how many people in the church, if I could just see Jesus, I know everything. No, it wouldn't. You would lose it. And you would be back in the same shape that you were in. Maybe that was a dream. Maybe I had too much pizza. You know, I knew I shouldn't have ate pickles and then drank a Coca-Cola. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't you ooh that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And so in all of this, you might say, I know I shouldn't have done that. Or you just forget, well, God showed up. Why isn't he showing himself now? He showed himself to me 15 years ago. You have something more better, more perfect.
Amen.
You have the word of God. And the word of God will change you and you will never be the same.
Right.
What Peter is saying, the Bible that you carry in your hands, the Bible, you know, is better than what you can hear and what you can see and what you can touch. Your eyes and your ears can be fooled. And the enemy can tempt you with your eyes and put words in your ears. You know, the enemy will speak stuff to you that never happened. Did you hear the tone of that person who talked to you?
That's the truth.
I didn't like that. You start focusing and you start mulling over it and you start mulling over it. And then all of a sudden they said stuff they ain't never said and they said it with an attitude that was never there.
Right.
And I will tell you, I am not your normal person. I don't know if you know that yet. But you'll figure that out if you hang around. But sometimes my joking is funny. It's hilarious. And some people take it wrong. And I have said this to people. They made a comment that was funny to me or hilarious or said something. And I'm like, you are on crack. And I had people that got, you know, thought about that. And I think in the beginning they knew it was a joke. But then later they're like, you thought I was on crack. I'm like, no, if I thought you were on crack, you really wouldn't have access to me. And that become a reality to them. And so the enemy will speak into your ears stuff that was never meant. Will speak into your ears things that were never said. And so the word of prophecy that we have is greater. Oh, I just had this morning. Let me use this as an example. There was an email that went out to somebody. I didn't even send the email, but it's all fine. But said that I would call them. And they said, someone told them, oh, are you upset because pastor didn't call you? Are you offended? They said, no, because he's busy. So the enemy was like, pastor didn't call you when he said he would call you. He doesn't like you. Oh, he knows about you. Oh, he doesn't respect you. Oh, Jesus, let's just keep going on that, right? The enemy is a liar, pants on fire, wrapped around a telephone wire. It is. The enemy can tempt you, but we don't allow our ears and our eyes to get us off the word. The word is the final authority. Hebrews 5. Here we got a group of Christians just like the Galatians. And I'm ending within at least another hour. Galatians chapter 5. For you, if you're visiting, that was a joke. But strong, verse 14, 5 and 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of age. Maturity. Do you know if I would have gave Lucy or Eliana when they were 6 months a steak right in front of them? I think they probably would still eat it. But let's talk about 1 month. 1 month. You put a steak in front of them at 1 month, they can't eat that. They can't even digest that. That would mess them up. Now, this is what he's talking to. We're talking to a church that are not mature. And he says, look, there's some things I want to say to you, but what I want to say, this meat that needs to get to you are for those that are mature. Even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Once you get into the meat of the Word of God, once you start growing up in maturity in the Word of God, you'll be able to begin to just sense good and evil. Yeah. And it's your spirit man. It goes beyond your eyes. It goes, I've had someone say, you know, I was somewhere and the Lord just spoke to me, get out, get out. I just felt like I had to leave. And I left. And then they knew why. Sometimes they never knew why. They never knew why. But there are some times that even on 9/11, you heard people say, you know, I didn't feel like something about just, I didn't go in. I just felt I had a strong prompting. And their life was saved because they didn't even show up. They didn't do stuff. And your life will be saved by following the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And sometimes you won't even know it until you get to heaven. I am convinced that my life has been saved several times that I have no idea. I might have ticked somebody off, the wrong person off, and God just caused them to freeze up. I have no idea. Maybe I asked if they were on crack or something, and they really were. I have no idea. But the Lord has saved my life more than I can imagine. All right, we're going to look at Proverbs 4:20 and then Romans 4:20, and I'm finished. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health unto all their flesh. The word will cause your spirit to become alive. And as you fill your spirit with God's word, it will affect your life and it will bring health unto your body. The word of God will bring health unto your body. I want to say, see, this is it. You got to hear something and believe it. I don't know. It will bring health unto your body. It will bring health unto you. It will cause you to even live a better life. All right. Romans 4:20. Are you ready? And he staggered not. We're talking about Abraham. And he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. I'm going to bring out two things in this scripture right here that faith and growing up in maturity will do for you. Number one, the first thing that growing up will do for you, God receives glory in your maturity. God receives glory in your maturity. When you live according to God's word, it gives him glory. Every day you are living in God's word, you give God glory. Some people think, I want to give God glory, so I'm going to bow down right here in the middle of Walmart, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Father, I praise you! That does give God glory, I'm sure, but it makes you also look like an idiot. And people think it's in an action, and it is. It's in living. Living, growing up, and living in God's maturity. Every day you wake up a mature Christian, you give God glory. Every day. I want you to say this. Every day, I give God glory. Because I'm a mature Christian. I'm not led by my flesh. I'm led by my spirit. It gives God glory. Sometimes you should wake up in the mirror and just wake up in the mirror. Do that. Tell me how that works for you. Wake up and look in the mirror in the morning before you go out. Look at yourself. If you got something hanging over, because you take that thing down. Look in the mirror and say, I give God glory. Amen. This is what I think a lot of Christians have got to do. They believe in the word. It's like the radio. Have you ever listened to the radio and it was off a little? And it's staticky, but you can still hear it. Right. You turn that dial or to this, you know, you change that little number, right? You see, get it a little stronger, and then you hear it perfectly without any static. I think in the word, or in the church, we're hearing the word, but we got some static in between us and God. Yeah. whether it's our own vision of who we are as people or what we think we are, there's some static. And all we got to do is just turn it just a little, dial it in just a little clearer, get rid of that fog, and we'll hear the message better, we'll receive the message better, and we'll walk clearly. We'll get out of the fog, and we'll walk clearly. Now, point two, you will not stagger at God's promises. That word stagger is the Greek word, are you ready for this? Diaklino. Sounds like something you would hear off of, you know, with the Kleons, right? I don't want nobody that is all nerdy get upset with me because this is not the sign of the Kleon. You know what I'm saying? You forgive me? We're going to fight with that Kleon sword. I know what it is. All right. So anyway, so diaklino, which means to separate. So we will not stagger at the promises of God. This is many Christians right here. They staggered at the promise of God. It means to separate. It means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit. How many people have you known in the body of Christ that separated from God in a hostile manner? They got upset. And what they got upset was over a promise of the Lord.
Yes.
What they got upset was they were either offended by somebody or they were expecting something and it didn't come the way they thought it should come.
Yep.
So they got hostile toward the Lord. They separated themselves from the promise of God. I know that's what the word says, but it didn't work for me. So I'm getting away from that. That doesn't work. It didn't come the way I expected it. And so they separate themselves in a hostile manner away from the Lord. Those who are mature recognizes, okay, just because it didn't come the way I was expecting it today. I was expecting it to come in this manner. It didn't show up yet, so that just means I'm not done. It's not finished. It's not finished yet. It doesn't cause you to say, well, I was expecting it today. The Lord spoke to me. I said to people it was coming, and now they're all going to think I'm idiots. They're going to judge me, Lord. So I'm cutting myself off from this. And they do it in a hostile manner. Maturity will cause you not to stagger.
Amen.
Maturity will cause you not to become hostile with the promises that are in him, yes, and in him, amen. Thank you. To separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, to strive with, to dispute, to contend. Spiritual maturity is the maximum expression of God's grace. Spiritual maturity is the greatest form of the grace of God you can ever have on your life. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us this morning as a whole. And we need to grow up. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. You're coming to a place in your spiritual life.